I'm going to start calling names. Calling you up from, I thought I got Jesse convicted, now, but he's going downstairs. I thought I got him convicted. I thought you were going to get up and sing one now, but I guess I didn't. Okay, get your Bibles if you would, and open two places tonight if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter number 12 and 1 Kings chapter number 11. Yes.
We didn't get to make this morning.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that, brother. Yes. 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 Amen.
And when he delivered him back to his kingdom, put him back on the throne, it shows you that out of someone that bad that can be saved and turned around.
Amen.
There's still hope for this country.
Yes, amen. Amen. You know, there's hope for any individual that will turn to God, that will humble themselves and turn to God. God dwells among the high lofty places of heaven and among the humble contrite hearts.
That's right. Amen.
And so anytime that someone humbles their heart, God draws near. I've often said this, grace, you got to get low to get grace. The flesh hates to get low. But if you want grace, you got to get low. That's why proud people can't get saved. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
When he wanted to show his disciples who's the greatest, he pulled a little child and said, whosoever shall humble himself is this little child. Because God draws near to humble hearts. Amen. We're going to kind of keep a thought that we kind of talked about this morning. We dealt with parents sometimes that affects their children with decisions that they make. And my mind went this morning when I was preaching to this fella. His name was Rehoboam. Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with Rehoboam, but his dad was Solomon. Now, and I think I misspoke this morning and I wanted to correct it. I think I said Ahaz and Jezebel instead of Ahab and Jezebel. But anyway, getting back, Rehoboam was in line to receive the throne from Solomon. But because of Solomon's actions, God took 10 of the 12 tribes and gave them to Jeroboam. And we're going to look tonight. One time I preached from 1 Kings chapter number 11, and I preached about Solomon's midlife crisis, and that's basically what he had. Solomon being a wise man, but Solomon's lapse during his life affected his children. But I want you to notice, if you would, in 2 Chronicles, turn there first, in verse number 1 of chapter 12. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established a kingdom and had strengthened himself. Didn't look to the Lord to strengthen him. He strengthened himself. And he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. If you read on down, the older people, the wise counsel, gave him, he went to them for some counsel. They gave him some wise counsel on how to deal with Jeroboam. Then he went to the younger people and see what they had to say. And the older people told him to win the people over and to humble himself. He went to younger people and they basically told him, said, no, show yourself to be strong. And think that Solomon put some weight upon you all. Wait and see what kind of weight I will put on you. And of course, it didn't work out well for him. So he not only forsook the law of God, he forsook wise counsel. Now listen to me very carefully, especially you younger people and everybody. But when you're going to seek counsel about what to do, find wise counsel. Don't go to a bunch of young people that's never lived life, never gone through the things, and you know, I look at things a whole lot different today than I would look at someone come talk to me at 18-year-old. I look back at 18-year-old, and I realize how foolish I was at 18-year-old. And so therefore, be wise in doing that. Now, age doesn't always make you wise, but it does put you through a lot of experiences of life. But if you notice in verse 13, the Bible says, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitus is what. In verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now let me say something here, then we're going to go to Kings. Solomon made a terrible mistake by choosing a lot of heathen women to marry. This was one of them. Now, Rehoboam could have blamed his dad. He could have blamed his mom, because I'm sure his mom was an influence on him to worship idols. We'll see in just a few moments. Solomon's wife led his heart away from the Lord. But what I want you to understand is, no one, regardless of how bad your parents have been, what influence they have been on you and have not been on you toward the Lord, no one has an excuse not to serve God. Even though Solomon did Rehoboam bad, and his decision affected his children, because God told him if he'd keep his commandments and do the things he told him to do, that he would carry on the throne for his children and his children's children. They would sit upon the throne. But Solomon went away from God in that process. And so therefore, the kingdom was split. But I want you to notice that it was Rehoboam's choice not to prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And so even though some may not have had the privilege of other people has, God will still hold you responsible for your decision in seeking the Lord. Amen? Now look, if you would, and let's go back to 1 Kings, and let's look at some reasons of how this came about. 1 Kings chapter 11. And keep your Bibles open there. We're going to go to a couple places. The first 10 chapters of the Bible tells of the victories and the wisdom that Solomon used, the admiration he had, and what he built. Several times when I preach funerals, I will go to the book of Ecclesiastes. And you look, the word means preacher, one that addresses assembly. And you look and see that he was looking over his life. And he realized that a lot of decisions he made and a lot of things that he gained was vanity, meaningless. He realized that all the labors that he had done and everything that he'd earned through that, through his men servants and maid servants and all the ones that worked for him, was going to be left to somebody else. And so therefore he looked, and at the end he saw the conclusion of the whole matter. But he realized that in chapter 7, he realized that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, because it makes you seriously look at what life's and where it's going to end at. But looking back, in all his wisdom, How can someone so wise make such foolish decisions as we're fixing to see that Solomon made? Now, from what I understand, Solomon may have been around 50 years old at this time, when we're reading about somewhere along in those lines. But no one started with any more promise than Solomon. David handed him over all this treasure. He handed him over a throne. He handed him over, and he also handed him over things of God. And of course, Solomon, you know, God used him. God used him to build the temple. You know, remember, David wanted to build a house for the Lord. And God said, you can't. You're a man of war and you got bloody hands. But you know, he said he would allow his son to do it. And Solomon got the privilege of building the house for the Lord.
Yeah.
I've often said, if I couldn't do something, there's no greater privilege than seeing my children do it. And so God granted him that privilege of seeing his child do it. And so you know Solomon, all of his wisdom. And so he began with a good father, good example. We know that David had some issues at his time in his life as well. But we find that he drifted away from God at this point. In chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. There's that strange that you've been talking about. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Now that was where Rehoboam's mother come from, no doubt. The Ammonites. And of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had said, and by the way, I don't know if that love is love or lust, but whatever it was, he clave. And we know that he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Solomon had an issue in his life. Look on in verse number 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Now let me just stop right there and say this. You can't serve two masters. And Solomon was trying to do both. He was trying to appease God, but then he was trying to appease his wives too. And here, the Bible says he did not go fully after the Lord. Verse 7. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chishmash in the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord has said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David thy servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. The Lord stirred up adversary of Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite, and he was of the king's seed in Edom. Now, if you follow this, you find that Rehoboam got the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. And so therefore he got two tribes, and Jeroboam took the other 10 tribes. But let's look a few moments at Solomon and look at some scripture relating to Solomon. You know the highlights of his life, and it seemed like he had a flawless life in the first 10 chapters as we read. His fatal disease was he failed to take sin serious. And when he began to disobey God and take these wives on, they brought their idols with them, and he succumbed to them and their begging and their pleadings, no doubt, and things that they were doing and saying. And so therefore it caused his downfall, as we found in chapter 11. Now, let's look just a few moments and see how he compromised. First of all, his wisdom. If you look in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you turn over there just a moment, in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 7, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Wouldn't it be wonderful if Solomon had kept that humble spirit? But he built himself up as time went on. Verse number 8, "Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, neither hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy works. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." But he also gave him riches as well. Look on while you're there in verse chapter number 4. Notice verse 29. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men." And if you look down verse 32, "He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Boy, Solomon went from having such wisdom. How in the world did he get to the point where he thought it was a good idea to marry 700 heathen women of those nations that God had forbidden him to marry? The wives turned his heart away from the Lord. Not very wise. Amen. Look at his walk. At first, notice if you would in chapter 8, he builds a temple, and oh my, what a dedication he makes unto the Lord. But look if you would in chapter 8. Notice verse number 14. As he was dedicating the service in his walk with God, it says, "And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed this, his word, that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and I sit on the throne of Israel, as God promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So notice what a walk he had. If you begin verse 22 and read on the rest of the chapter, you'll find, as he stood before the altar, the dedication that he made. And it's marvelous to see the prayer and so forth that Solomon made. At one time, he walked with God. Man, and God, the Bible says that God came and visited him twice in person. And then we find that during this walk, and he was reminded in chapter 9, if you look, in chapter 9, God reminded him that his walk was very important to God. Notice you would in verse number 4. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of David. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And of course, you know, when they took Israel captive to Babylon, they destroyed the temple of Solomon that Solomon had built, the temple of God, the one that was amazing. And even later on, as Zerubbabel rebuilt another temple, the old men that had seen the first temple, the Bible says that they wept because of comparison of the two. But the young people shouted, and they thought it was something. But the old people looked, and they realized that, boy, this temple is nothing compared to what Solomon had built. But now Solomon's walk, he was told, when you cease to walk, I'm going to cut off you and your children. You say, well, what caused Solomon to do such a thing as he did? He loved himself more than he loved his children. He only thought of himself at the moment. What was his thoughts? 700 wives, 300 concubines, taken from heathen nations. People said, why was the heathen nations, why did they keep going to heathen nations? Just like Samson. The women of Israel, like Brother Eric was talking about, virtuous women this morning. The women of Israel worked. They did things. They were conceited. And I'm sure these heathen women was very attractive to the flesh, just as Samson was drawn to them. I'm sure Solomon was drawn to them as well. And so here we find his wisdom deteriorated because of his compromise. Not only that, his walk deteriorated because of his compromise. Now, notice as well his wealth that he had in chapter 10. The Bible talks about the Queen of Sheba. Brother Eric mentioned her, I believe, this morning or last week one. But the Queen of Sheba in chapter 10, verse number 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Imagine the wealth that Solomon had. In Ecclesiastes, he said he couldn't even count the silver and gold. Vineyards, houses, everything in the world that you could think. horses, all kinds of things, the wealth that he had. But sometimes our blessings can turn into curses. Sometimes what we do is we allow those things to take over our lives. I think that's why Solomon later on looked back and said, man, I'm not so sure those things were so good for me. Because what he did was he looked back and he said, vanity, meaningless. Man, look what I've done. Amen. Not only that, but look at his worship. In worship, in chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, we read, and notice he did not fully follow the Lord anymore. At one time, he loved the Lord and praising the Lord and dedicating the house to the Lord and talking great words about the Lord and humbling himself before the Lord. And now, he was trying to serve two masters, as I said. And so not only did his worship digress to the place that he was even building altars to these idols, forbidden by God, but his witness went down. Imagine how everybody around him looked at him, knowing that God had forbidden these women to come in from these heathen nations and to be brought in to the nation of Israel. And yet they saw their king marrying, making princesses, 700 of them, and having 300 concubines. Then you look, and not only his witness, then you find that God's chastening. You know, he lived, and God had blessed him by letting him have a kingdom of peace. But then, you look in chapter 11, verse 14, look in verse number 23, as well as 27, I believe, or 26, you'll find that God began to stir enemies up against Solomon. All of a sudden, didn't have much peace. All of a sudden, the hedge was gone that God had built around him. And peace of mind was no longer with Solomon. Imagine how it was when God was blessing Solomon and Solomon was worshiping God and built the temple of God and walked with God and worshiped God and God was blessing him and he had such peace and had such wisdom that he was ruling and reigning over the nation of Israel. Then all of a sudden, he begins to pull these women and bring them into his life and God begins to chasten them. Then you find his accumulation of wealth. Look, if you would, in chapter number 10. And notice, if you would, in verse number 14. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year, this is 1 year, was 603 talents of gold, which amounts to somewhere close to 25 tons of gold. What would you do with 25 tons of gold? Besides that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went into one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Now later on in Rehoboam's time, they came in, the enemy come in, took those, and then he made brass ones and polished them up real good, like that would substitute for the gold. But then look in verse 18, moreover the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. And he talks about the throne having 6 steps and the top of the throne was round behind and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and the 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side, and on the other, upon the 6 steps, there was not like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Haram. Once in 3 years came the Navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spices, and horses, and mules, and a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of the Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. So for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. Now, you say, well, that sounds like he had a great abundance. I mean, just 1 year, 25 tons, then everybody just kept bringing them presents. Gold, silver, ivory, animals, all kinds of things just kept bringing them. And he had horses and chariots. Then he had these 700 wives, 300 concubines. What else could the man want? Well, like I said, when he began to address the congregation about it, he said, whoa, it was vanity. It was meaningless. But let's look back at a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 17. If you'll turn there just a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, notice some requirements on the king that God had put in verse 14. Chapter 17. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations are about me. Boy, isn't it good that God already knows what everybody's going to do? Boy, it's amazing, isn't it? God then, somebody said, he plays chess while we play chess. Chess don't even hold a lot to what God plays. He's got it all figured out all the way down the line, amen? Look in verse 15. Thou shalt say, in any wise I set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply what? Horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So first of all, he said this king, he don't need to have a bunch of horses. Well, guess what Solomon had? A bunch of horses. Then look at the very next verse in verse 17. Neither shall he what? Multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Well, 700 and 300, 1,000. That still blows my mind. 1,000, man. His honey-do list must have been, I mean, it must have been something else, amen? But look here. But as a king, he was forbidden. And you know what those women did? They turned his heart away from God, just like he said. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver or gold. Oh, no. And it shall be as he sitteth on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And we'll tell you what happened to Solomon. He quit reading his Bible. Boy, when you get where you quit reading your Bible, you start looking around, you start liking what the world has, it's a good recipe. And you say, well, preacher, my heart's still, I want to serve God. but you'll find yourself not fully serving him. Then you'll find yourself drawn. The Bible says he should read it there in all days of life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and their statutes, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. What happened to him? His heart got lifted up. He began to neglect his daily duties of reading the Bible and making copy. He began to think himself above everybody else. He began to believe what the newspapers was telling him about. He began to believe what everybody was saying about him. His wisdom that God had granted all of a sudden began to increase pride as he began to build up all these things. Then he had adultery restricted by God. And these wives brought it in. And it was a great expense to the people around. And he slowly began to build these shrines. And let me say this. He had no excuse. He was taught truth from a youth. He had an example of a father. And you say, well, how about what David did? David had to pay a great price, and David's children paid a great price. You would think that Solomon would have learned from that, him being wise like he was. But also, the Lord had appeared to him twice, especially appeared to him. I believe when the Lord appeared to you, like he appeared to David and some of them, or to Solomon and some of them, I don't believe you ever forgot that day. You know, I know just in salvation, I haven't seen him physically, but when the Lord came to me and I got saved, I've never forgotten that day. I never shall forget that day. Amen. It's engraved upon my heart. Then God had warned of all these things. And so tonight, I want you to understand that if it could happen to Solomon, it could happen to us. And you say, preacher, I would never. And you know, Brother Eric was over in Ezekiel chapter 16 today, and if you got reading about the daughters and sisters, and that sister, Sodom, her sin wasn't sodomy right off the bat. It was pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. And so what you need to understand is the great danger we have here, I'll guarantee you this. If last night you had to seek God for food for your children this morning, we would probably have had a greater service this morning than what we had this morning. We'd probably come in with some humble hearts. If we had to come and we came to a place and we were used to sleeping on the ground, and came into a place like this, we'd probably be more grateful for it. And what happens is this. America, I love this country, and I thank God for this country, and I wouldn't want to be born in any other country. But there's a danger of pride. And God has so blessed this country that none of us have ever gone hungry. There's not a person here that if you were hungry, you could come to another person in this congregation and we would feed you. An abundance of idleness. We have way too much time on our hands. And boy, I tell you what, the old devil has taken the Bible out of our laps and he's replaced it with something. And anymore, I remember staying with my grandparents. Every night, everything was shut off. We sit there, and my grandpa would read the Bible. And we'd get down on our knees, and we would pray.
And that'd be the last thing we did before we went to bed. And how we have gone with abundance of idleness. And what does that bring? Then that soon brings sodomy, because sodomy is not a bunch of people that God has made mistakes on. Sodomy is people that chases lust and they can't get satisfied, and they keep chasing lust and they keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and they'll never be satisfied. And what happened to Solomon was this. He lusted after the women and he couldn't get satisfied until one day he woke up and he realized what a mistake he'd made with all that. But his children had to suffer because they were born of heathen women. And they had to suffer, and they were raised probably around those idols. But Rehoboam didn't have an excuse, because he chose not to prepare his heart to seek the Lord. But Solomon was a great influence on that and the decision that he made at that point in his life. So we need to be wise. Wise as serpents. Because if the wisest man in the world could make these mistakes, don't you think the old devil can't come into us too? Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 185 in the rule book, 185.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're not even saved. And God's still in your heart. You need to come. Be saved. Tonight may be the night that you need to step out and come. Would you do that? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Man, when he speaks, and he wants to speak to you directly. Somebody said, well, I didn't hear him. But boy, you do hear him. You just don't hear him here, but you hear him here. And the amazing thing about it is, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you can understand exactly what he's saying to you. When he says come, he wants you to come. And when he reminds you of things, he'll make those things plain. Amen. Let's obey him, whatever, as we sing, Brother Porter. How about, Lord, I want you to have your own way. Would you come?